Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. For the best part of four decades, Dr. Ian Hassell has been working to improve the lives and lot of our nation's children. First as a paediatrician, then Deputy Medical Director of Plunkett, and then our first Children's Commissioner from 1989 to 1994. Dr. Hassell is currently Senior Researcher at AUT's Institute of Public Policy and has just been awarded the prestigious UNICEF Aldo Farina Award for sustained contribution to child's rights advocacy. Dr. Hassell joins us now.
Oh, Ian, welcome and congratulations on the Aldo Farina Award. Can you tell us a little bit about the award?
Right, well, it's awarded every second year by UNICEF internationally. They choose from amongst people that are recommended by the national committees for UNICEF, of which New Zealand is one. There's 190-odd of them around the world, and so they chose me this year.
And I get the impression that part of it for you was being able to make the statement. Your acceptance speech has quite a lot in it.
Yes.
You know, there's some interesting ideas in there. I particularly like that the idea we should get to the point we were saying of any new policy, is this good for the children, the way we say, is this good for GDP?
Yes.
Can you expand on that?
Right. Well, I mean, none of the things that I'm proposing is sort of off the wall. It's all of them sort of in different measures and in different proportions are established in other countries. So what I'm talking about there is child impact reporting. And it's something which needs to be done at a high level before things are set in concrete. So I'm really talking about cabinet papers, for example, being subject to that kind of rule being passed over them. You know, is it good for children?
Has that been put to the government? Has any, have you had any feedback?
We've discussed it with various people and published papers in, for example, the Public Policy Journal in New Zealand. And it has been proposed. I mean, I'm a member of a coalition of agencies, which includes Plunkett, Barnardo's, Save the Children, UNICEF, and so on, that lobbies for children before each election. We've done that for the past two elections. And that's been included amongst the package of things that we'd like to see brought about. So it's not there ambushing people. It's been on the table for some time.
And that's essentially the same group of organisations that were on one side of the so-called smacking argument,
yep,
and copped quite a lot of flack for their trouble.
Yep.
Have the politics around that made things difficult for you?
Perhaps. I don't know. I mean, I think that we pull our punches too much in New Zealand politically. In other countries, they have more robust and open arguments about their beliefs. And I think that, in a funny way, New Zealanders respect people who stand up for their beliefs rather than sort of trying to merge their identity. In some ways, I respect that as well. I think that we are not subject to a lot of political confrontation. We had the Springbok tour and so on, but basically we are reasonably peaceable people and we don't like to offend our fellow citizens by sort of parading our beliefs before them. We're a bit like, I mean, we're a small, intimate society, and it's as if we were all gathered around at a dinner party and not wanting to sort of create a ruckus.
Because we have this fond, implicit belief that New Zealand is a great place to bring up children. Do you think that in itself is an obstacle, that we think we're doing better than we are?
I do think so. Again, I'm of two minds in relation to this. I think we are, it is a good place to bring up children, and many of us, most of us, do that well. I think we don't want to be all the time moaning about where we sit in OECD tables and so on. I mean, we have this terrible rate of poverty and of child abuse and so on, but we have strengths, and one of our strengths, I believe, is that we bring up our children with a great deal of freedom. The children have a lot of freedom. And I think that contributes to our ability in the world and elsewhere to be versatile, innovative, able to speak in forums from a position of oversight of a subject rather than necessarily from a position of partisanship. So I think that's very helpful for us commercially and in the world generally.
Why do we have such high rates of child abuse?
Yes, that is a good question, and I've spent quite a lot of time over the years
thinking about it.
Yes.
Because, I mean, obviously we're not the poorest country in the world. We're not the least educated.
No.
We're not.
No, I think, again, it's probably one of our strengths is also one of our weaknesses. We have come from a pioneering background, and we believe in rugged self-sufficiency, and we like to bring up our children to be ruggedly self-sufficient. And one of the ways that we have lit upon in that respect is to whack them around a bit so that they stand up for themselves. So there's that. There are other things too. We have an Anglophone heritage, which includes this law that requires that or enables people to be defended if they have strike children. And that's not the be-all and end-all, the whole Section 59 argument, but it's an indication of where we came from. I think when each of the Anglophone countries were settled, that's the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, mostly, we were in the throes of an evangelistic fervour in our religious beliefs. And some of the things that the leading evangelists were saying really make your hair curl. Some of the things that John Wesley said about what to do with children, you know, that you beat them and if they cry more, you beat them some more until they stop crying. So that sort of thing, which, you know, is just an excerpt from one of his sermons, was brought to this country. But oddly, the Maori, the indigenous people in New Zealand, were very careful not to strike their children. And the Europeans, when they came here, remarked about this and really condemned the natives for their being soft on children and not disciplining them sufficiently.
The irony, of course, that you're pointing to is the fact that if you listen to talkback radio, sometimes you'd assume it was the opposite way around, wouldn't you?
Well, absolutely, but it's not true. And I think there's a lot that I see that's positive about what's going on in Māoridom that means that they will be returning to their viewpoint. I've got a lot of hope for and optimism about whānau ora, for example. I think that has the potential to bring families together and give them that sort of ideology of togetherness, which means that which takes children to be part of that. Because, I mean, you asked the question about what really is behind it all, and, you know, in one word, it's sort of disassociation, it's alienation, or, you know, whatever word you like to use, that is responsible. And there are a lot of things that contribute to that. Colonisation did, of course, but also the huge disparities that have arisen in New Zealand between the well-off and the not-so-well-off, which affects both ends of the spectrum. I mean, everybody's been talking about Richard Wilkinson's book, which argues, I think, very convincingly, with a great deal of research evidence, that the more unequal societies are around the world, the more violent they are. And we've become quite an unequal society. We've become quite a violent society. That should be reversed.
That's a hard thing to reverse, though, isn't it?
It is, but it's not impossible. I think it is a transformational thing. We do need a new ideology. You were looking at that speech I gave in Seoul when I accepted the Aldo Farina Award, and I've included in that some thought about what we should do. There is a need for a new ideology.
Let me just let's just finish off by saying you were the first Children's Commissioner in 1989. 20-some years on, seeing the progression that we've made in the last two decades, do we have cause for hope?
There is always cause for hope. When people say, what have you achieved in this? You're supposed to have been a child advocate and look what's going on. You know, the obvious rejoinder is, look how much worse it might have been had we not been there. I don't know. I mean, some good things have happened. A lot of good things have happened in New Zealand, and I don't want to condemn the country and say it's a write-off or a basket case. It's absolutely not true.
Thank you very much for coming in. That's Dr. Ian Hassell from AUT's Public Policy Institute. Coming up after the break, we talk men's health, and we head down south for some smooth country sounds.